Well, the series is beautiful, and we're going to look at some things that hold us captive in life, things like shame and regret and hurt and fear, things in our past that many times haunt us, that won't go away, things that the evil one whispers. In fact, on a regular basis, whispers in your ear, these things hold you back. Things that keep us from being who God created us to be and has called us to be. See, God wants to take our brokenness, and we all have it, and he wants to turn it into something beautiful. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He's planted eternity in the heart, in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." Today, we're going to talk about labels. You know, if I were going to introduce myself, I would say I'm a Christian, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a pastor, I love to play basketball, I'm a diehard Pittsburgh Steeler, Pittsburgh Pirate, and Pittsburgh Penguin fan. You see, there's kind of a run there. No, I'm glad. No booze today. So, and if I ask you to introduce yourself, I believe you'd say something very similar. You'd go kind of down that same path. But if I ask you to describe yourself in three words, you'd take a different path. In fact, I asked some people over the last few weeks, and it was really interesting what people said. One guy I asked, he goes, "Funny, easygoing, serious." And he goes, "No, funny, seriously." So, yeah. Another person said they were shy, quiet, and reserved, and I had to drag every single one of those words out of them. I go, one more, you know. Another person said complex, quirky, independent. Another person is pretty funny. They go, talkative, outgoing, social, friendly. And then they ran with about six or seven other words. And when they finally come up for air, I go, talkative. You know, some people went a different direction when I talked to them. They went with like life events. They said divorced, struggling, single parent. And some people went a bit deeper. In fact, what they did, they tossed out the three-word confine. And one person told me, they said, "I'd describe myself as someone that struggles in life." Another person told me, "I've made a lot of mistakes, and those things have cost me dearly." And then they kind of expanded on it. Let me ask you this. If, when you look in the mirror, what do you say? What do you say to yourself? "Hello, beautiful," you know. I mean, what do you say in that moment? In that moment of introspection, what do you say? And I ask that because many times the things that we think about ourselves are the things that we need to overcome. Loser. Failure. Disappointment. You know, worthless, ugly, fat, crazy. What are those words that you think? You may not say them, but you think them. And we definitely feel them. Many times those labels become very restrictive in our lives. In fact, labels, I believe, have a lot of power. A lot of power. I think I've shared this before, but at a very early age, I figured that out because I grew up in the Levi generation. And so the cool kids had Levi's, and my brother and I, we had faux jeans, tough skin jeans. These are jeans that were ridiculously overbuilt. You would outgrow these cursed things before you could wear them out. And I did not know who designed them, but I'm guessing that they were a sinister group of people that were colorblind. They flunked out of fashion school. In fact, I believe they probably weren't able to build tanks, so they say, "Hey, let's build jeans," you know. But Tough skins got unleashed on millions of us unsuspecting kids. How many of you wore them when you're? Yeah, I hated those things. They were freakish colors and what have you. And the winter, they were so hard to walk in, you could hardly get around. I had nightmares about that. In fact, I needed counseling for years because of it. And I, no joke, I go in Sears and I get near the men's department and I'm like, you know, cold sweat and freaking out and all that. But I remember the first day I wore them to school and one of the kids goes, "Oh, Mr. Green Jeans." And I never wore them to school again. I never wore the green ones, never. In fact, I would take and I would throw them in the laundry once in a while just so my mom thought I was wearing them. And she'd go, "I didn't see you wearing those." Say, yeah, I wore them earlier in the week. So I know you're not supposed to lie, but they were in such good shape when I outgrew them. My brother inherited them. And so I want to say, "You're welcome, Flint," or should I say Mr. Green Jeans, you know, so I got called that the entire school year, on and off. Not all the time, but on and off. And I got where I hated that name. I mean, I hated it. Some labels that you get, that wasn't a big deal. You know, you get past it. Some of you have been fortunate enough that you've got a positive label in your life. Maybe you've worked really hard, and so you got a label. Or maybe you were successful. Maybe you were just the right place at the right time. But the reality is many carry around negative labels. And these labels you internalize. And in fact, they echo in your head sometimes. When you look in the mirror, that thing that you think, that's your label. That's your label. Maybe it's the feeling of being a failure. Maybe you feel inadequate, you know, as a parent, as a spouse, as a Christian. Maybe it's just insecurity. Maybe it's a perception that you have. Maybe it's something you struggle with, and the reality is it holds you captive in your life. I don't know what your label is, but what I do know is we all carry them. We all carry them. And here's the problem. Eventually, if you carry a label long enough, it stops describing your past and it starts determining your future in life. I was reading some research and they took a group of students and they labeled some of them as slow, you know, struggling in a particular area. And they kept everything the same for them. They had the same class, same teacher, same teaching methods. Everything remained the same. But the children that knew and were aware of that label, almost immediately they started decreasing in their performance. And then they took those same children in other areas and they said, "Well, you're very advanced. You're very advanced in that." And what they found was they started showing an increase. Again, no other changes, just they were aware of a label that they had. And you go, "Well, why'd that happen?" Labels are powerful. Some labels in life possess a predictive quality about them and a restrictive quality. For instance, let's say when I look in the mirror, I go, "I'm a failure." And so I feel like a failure inside because maybe something that happened at school or at work or in my relational life. And because I feel like I'm a failure, it becomes very restrictive. I'm afraid to step out. I'm afraid to try something new. Why? Well, because it might not work out. And then what happens is I kind of confirm the fact that I'm a failure. You know, some of you, maybe it's I feel weak. And so you don't ask your spouse to treat you with respect in your life, the respect that you deserve. And why won't you? Well, because if you ask them, and then they don't respect you, it only validates what you already feel, what you're already struggling with. And in fact, not only do you feel weak, now you feel even weaker because of that. And what I want to say is labels are very complex. Labels are very powerful. And the longer you wear a label, the less it is about your past and the more it is about defining your future in life. And here's the good news. We can overcome labels. And we can push past them. And not only push past them, but we can overcome and be victorious over them. You know, God will take those labels, if we allow him, and he'll turn them into something very, very beautiful in our lives. You know, the book of Mark, there's a story about Jesus and a man that we're not told his name. They don't ever identify his name, but we're going to call him Mac, okay? So we have Jesus and Mac. And Mac was physically paralyzed. And because of his disability, he wasn't able to work in that day. And we know from that culture, again, it was the culture of that day, that he probably felt like a burden. He probably felt like, does anybody care? There's a good chance his family abandoned him. We don't really know the facts here, but that's probably, knowing that culture in that day, is how he felt. We know that he was dependent on other people. And to top it off, in that day, if a person had disability, they assumed, society did, assumed that someone in your family or you had sinned to kind of cause all this. So it was really messed up in that day. And so you would carry labels around. Carry the label, well, sinner, his family's a sinner. Mac had been labeled. But fortunately, Mac had some friends. And his friends go, okay, we can't heal Mac, but if we get him to Jesus, maybe Jesus can do something. So everywhere Jesus went, crowds gathered, huge crowds. And the problem was Mac needed to get to Jesus. And Mac couldn't do it on his own. So his friends, they carry him to where Jesus is. And there are so many people there that they can't get inside the house where Jesus is teaching that day. Now, these boys are not going to be deterred. They get creative. They go, let's carry him to the roof. And then they start digging through the roof. They're going to lower him down. Now, here's what I wonder at that point. I go, how'd you like to have been the owner of that home? They're digging through your roof. You're like, honey, did you pay the insurance for the house this month? You know, a hole in the roof. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much they saved on Geico, you know. It's like, that's what I thought when I was reading the scripture. I'm like, okay, really? So they lower Mac down. There he is. He's lying on the ground before Jesus, that room full of people. And I'm sure at that moment that Mac's very self-conscious. I imagine he's thinking about the labels. Labels he's been carrying his whole life. In fact, I'm going to guess he may have heard people whispering in that moment. Oh, it's Mac. It's Mac. Everybody in that room's looking at him. Everybody, they're waiting to see what will Jesus do. Can you feel that tension in the story? You know, Scripture says, when Jesus saw whose faith? Their faith. That's surprising. Jesus saw their faith. I expect when I'm reading to read when Jesus saw his faith, saw Mac's faith. But it doesn't say that. It says when Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw Mac's faith and his friends that are up in the roof there, when he sees those, he goes, their faith when he saw their faith. Friends, I want to tell you what your friends, the faith that they have, matters. Your friend's faith matters because they will either pull you closer to Jesus or they will pull you away from Jesus. You know, Mac's friends decide if they can get him, if they can get him closer to Jesus, maybe, just maybe, something will happen in his life. You know, there's a guy I've got to be friends with, and he started coming to church here. He was kind of hit and miss, and, you know, one day God just got a hold of his heart, and I watched him just start growing, and he told me, he said, you know, my life's been a mess. I've been in and out of trouble, and he said, but God's making a difference, and so you could physically just see him changing. And then one Sunday, I saw him, and he was kind of down, and so I kind of cruised by him, and I said, is everything okay? He goes, no, not really. And then he began to tell me how he was struggling. And he said this to me. He said, my friends are pulling me away from God and Jesus and the church. He said, I don't need this. He says, what do I do? What do I do? And so I just said, you need new friends. You need Christian friends. You need Christian friends that'll encourage you, that'll hold you accountable. And so I got him connected with a few other guys, and I encouraged him. I said, get in one of our life groups or start serving on a team so that you can get to know some people. And so he started serving and building new relationships. And I will tell you, you can see him growing. You can see it. You can see his faith. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to behold. And he would tell you, if I were to pull him up here, he would tell you, your friend's faith matters. It matters in your life. Why? Because they will either pull you toward Jesus Christ and pull you closer, or they'll pull you away. One of the two things. So it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. So Mac's laying there. He's got all these labels. Again, I think he probably felt unworthy. He felt unwanted. He felt like he was a burden. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And I'm reading that and I go, what? What? It almost seems insensitive. I want to jump up and down and go, can't you see the need here? He's paralyzed. But Jesus has a way of seeing past what we think we need and seeing what we truly do need. You know, he looked at Mac and he knew what Mac needed wasn't a new label in his life, but he needed a new identity in his life. You know, some of you today, you came into church and you're thinking, if I could just get rid of this label in my life, if I could just get a new label in my life, then maybe I'd be okay. You know, maybe I could get closer to God. Maybe I'd be worthy enough to have a great relationship with God in my life. You know, maybe you came here today and you're thinking, you know, if people knew, if they knew who I am, I mean, if they really knew, if they knew what my marriage is like, if they knew how I struggle as a parent, how I struggle with my kids, if they knew what a mess I'm in, they'd reject me. Friends, I bring my broken pieces all the time. I bring those labels and those struggles and all that garbage, and you do too. And when you lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ, it's in that moment everything can change. You know, Jesus offers us on the cross not a new label. He offers us a new identity. It's written on our soul. It's, I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. And there is a big difference between labels and identity. See, labels describe your past. But an identity in Jesus Christ will define your future, and it will change you forever. You know, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church in Galatia. He's writing to you and I. And he says, there's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Paul picks out the defining characteristics in his day. They were labels of his day. And he says, we are no longer these things. We are defined not by those things. We're defined by Jesus Christ. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, what defines you? You are a child of God. You are a child of God and you belong to God. You know, so back to the story. Jesus forgives the sins of Mac. And if you read the whole story, we're not reading the whole thing. I encourage you to read it this week. But the religious leaders get all riled up. They start whispering among themselves. In fact, they end up accusing Jesus of blasphemy. And the reason why is they say, well, only God can forgive sins. And so they're whispering, they're talking and everything. And Scripture says immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they're thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? Or say, get up, take your mat, and walk. See, Jesus, he zeroes in on the religious leaders. In fact, he's going to bring an indictment on them. You know, he's saying, which is easier? Come on, give me an answer. Which one? Really? You don't have an answer? Forgive your sins? Walk? Which one is it? He says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he says to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Mac stood up, rolled up his mat, dropped the mic, and walked away. I mean, if it had been a movie, at this point, everything fades and the caption might come up, they lived happily ever after. It was something like that. Actually, Scripture says this. He got up, took his mat, and walked out, I love this, in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. I have always, since I was very young, when I first read this story, I've always wondered what happened to Mac. I mean, the story's over, but Mac's life, it isn't. You know, maybe he lived one more day. Maybe he lived 50 more years. Don't really know. But here's what I do know, and I guarantee you, everywhere that Mac went, people whispered, hey, it's Mac. Remember I told you about him? You know, he couldn't walk and he couldn't work. He was totally dependent on, I remember his friends digging the hole and they're telling the story. You know, he was the guy, he used to stand outside the gate and beg for money. See, Mac had all these labels. People were always whispering about him and talking about him everywhere he went. I mean, some of you know what that's like because you carry labels. You know, people whisper. Oh, that's Ken. Ken, he struggles with addiction. And I think, why can't it just be Ken? Hey, remember her? I told you about her, how she wrecked her marriage. People whisper. People talk. And labels stick. Oh, do they stick? There's a woman in the Old Testament. Her name's Rahab. I mean, she knew about labels. I mean, she certainly knew that people whispered about her. Now, you read the first encounter we have is in Joshua 2. And we learn that the Israelites, they've sent spies into the promised land. And Rahab helps them. In fact, she hides them and protects them. But before we learn anything about her, before we even know her name, we find out she's a prostitute. See, she lived in Jericho. She's on the wrong side of the wall. She's on the inside that's really the outside. The children of Israel are outside the wall. They're the chosen ones. Rahab is not a chosen one. In fact, Rahab, if you read, she's mentioned multiple times in Scripture. There are 8 different instances where she's talked about. 6 of them use the term Rahab the prostitute. See, she had a label. And I think, why can't it just be Rahab? But it was a label she carried. Later in Scripture, I love this, she's mentioned in the lineage of Jesus, which tells me a lot. It tells me that her past was not too big to forgive. And it tells me that the work in Rahab's life was too big to be denied and that the world was going to hear about it. You know, God worked in her and through her in spite of her label. It's surprising. But it's how God works, friends. And I think that's beautiful. That's beautiful. See, we do not know Mac's real name, but we know who healed him. And we're not clear about his name, but we are absolutely perfectly clear that God had a purpose in his life and that God was going to use him, and God used him to point other people to Jesus Christ. See, the devil, he may mean something for bad or for evil in your life and mine, but God will use it for good. God will take your past and he will use it to grow you in your life. He will use it to change someone else's future. See, God's in the business of turning labels into something beautiful. He does it all the time. You know, some of you walked in here today and you're like, I am so tired of being known as the single parent. See, it's a label you carry. Well, I want to encourage you. Because you may be the single parent, but you are also a complete picture of what it means to fully and totally rely on God. You know, some of you, you may be going, I wish I had more money. Everything's so tight and I can't do things for my kids. And I want to encourage you and say, you know what? You're passing on to your kids something that's far more important, trusting God, not your bank account, showing them how to trust God. I mean, that's an inheritance to give your kids. You know, some of you may be going, I'm an addict. You know, whatever it is in your past, God can use it to change someone else's future. And I don't know what it is for you, but I do know God will use it. God will use everything, everything in our lives, good, bad, ugly. He'll use it to grow us and to change someone else's life. God will use it to do something beautiful in you and through you. You know, when I moved up north, lived in Key West, Florida, and when we moved up here, I was way behind in English. I mean, way behind, because most of the kids in my class spoke Spanish. And so when it came to English class, we were several grades behind. I mean, we were. And so we moved up here, moved up to Illinois. I was working at a deficit, big deficit. And so when the teacher would call on kids to read in class, I'd try and hide. I'd get panicked inside. Oh, please don't call on me. Don't call on me. Don't call on me. Don't, please, please, please. Because I couldn't read well. I struggled with reading. I still do. You know, when I first got in ministry, see, I can talk. I've always been able to talk. My teachers, they go, oh, that's a good profession for you, you know. But I've always been able to talk. I just can't read. Terrible. I struggle. I read words that aren't there, and I read, you know, I skip words that are. I remember the first time I had to read publicly at a church. And my mind went all the way back to third grade. still does once in a while. You can't read. You're gonna mess up. You always mess it up. And it's strange, but it gets in your head. And it trips you up and it holds you back. And some of you, that label, that thing, that mistake, that struggle in your past is determining your future. And what I want to say to you is no more. No more. No more. God is more concerned with who you are than what you've done in your life. You know, that voice that speaks truth, it is not the voice that's in your head. You know, that voice that speaks truth, it's the voice that spoke creation into existence. You know, that voice that speaks truth, it's not what other people say and other people whisper, but it's what God says about you. Who you are, friends, was declared by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for you. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are forgiven. You know, when you ask for forgiveness and you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. That's who you are. Don't let anybody tell you differently. See, I do not know who you see when you look in that mirror. I do not know what label you carry. You know, failure, worthless, mistake, unwanted, screw up, whatever. Those things may describe your past. They may. But they do not. They do not. They do not describe your future. They don't. Friends, I know who defines your future. It's Jesus Christ. Some of you have been held captive by your past. You're paralyzed. You're stuck. You know, some of you, that label that's been holding you back is determining your future. It's dictating it to you. And I want to say, no more. No more. No more in your life are you going to allow your past to determine your future. In fact, Jesus Christ would say to you today, get up, take your mat, and go home. Go home. You are free. You're free from that. You are a child of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God will use your past. He'll use all your past, every bit of it, all of it, and turn you into something beautiful. If you just let him. If you just let him. Now, I want to close a little different. We haven't ever done this before, but the band's going to come out and lead us. And I just want you to take, we've all got stuff. And even if you don't or think you don't, come talk to me afterwards. I'll help you. I'll help you figure out what it is. We'll just form a line up here, you know. But all right. Just take your hands like this. Put them in your lap. That thing that owns you, that you see, that negative thing from your past, maybe it's something you struggle with today. At some point during the song, just say, no more. I am going to walk. And just break it. That moment you're saying, no more, no more. I'm not going to be held down. I'm going to let Christ shine through that. I'm going to let God shine. No more labels. Why? Because you're a child of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And just give it to God. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, we all lay those labels before your feet. And God, I don't know what it is for each person here, but I know we've all got them. It's things that whisper in our ear, that hold us back, that confine us, that shackle us. that own us. And God, today, we say no more. We are children of God. We belong to you. And God, I pray that you just help us break free. Today's the day, Lord. And God, we praise you and we thank you and we lift our voice in praise to you today. We give you the glory with all we say and do. And God's people said, amen. Let's worship together.